We all take on different roles every day. One minute you're a parent, the next a chef, or a driver. That's why the Volvo XC40 Recharge is designed to be as versatile as you are. It's fully electric and includes a 360-degree camera, Google built-in, and more. Contact your local retailer to learn more or visit volvocars.com/US. The Volvo XC40 Recharge, for every you. Some equipment optional. Google is a trademark of Google LLC.
Welcome to MGP 438. I'm Kevin. With me as ever, the Sheepdog, Anna and Pab. Say hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
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 I say, oh, listen to him, Mr. Cheerful, like he's well rested. I say with me as ever. I thought this podcast was going to have a whole other tone this week. We've spent the last hour speculating about whether or not Pab was dead because he doesn't set an alarm when he falls asleep immediately before recording, apparently. You rascal. No wonder you're so cheery.
Fashionably late.
Are you well rested? Did you have a nice nap?
No, clearly not.
Did you have a lovely dream?
No. What did you dream about, Pab?
I do not know.
And we discovered, despite being workplace associates for a number of years now, none of us have Pab's phone number, so we weren't able to phone him and ring him up. I was on Google Maps and everything, thinking, right, I want to watch the wrestling that starts at 3 a.m. Can I get to Bolton and back in 4 hours? And it's not. It would take me like 4:45 to go there and back. So I thought, oh, I'm gonna miss CM Punk's debut in AEW if I drive up there. So if he's dead, we'll just have to find out in the morning. But it turns out you're not dead, which is excellent news.
Would it have been appropriate for you to turn up at Pab's house? Like, where are you? It's 2 a.m. Just knocking on his door.
That's what baffles me. Is how do you... None of you have my number, but you have my address.
Yeah,
because you sent me a gift, which had a return address on from Amazon.
And we've sent him
gifts.
And I
wrote down in my address book.
I've sent Pab gifts. I have his address somewhere.
Yeah, because I gave it to you.
Maybe. Maybe. So, maybe, yeah, I've got it off his
What we should have
list.
Done is looked Pab's up. We should have looked Pab up in the phone book.
Well,
we have his address.
We
know his name. Yeah. We could have looked him up in the phone book.
It's a really good
home
point.
Phone number. How alarming would that have been? The home phone going off at 11 o'clock at night. Oh, that would have panicked you.
Yeah.
You realise, like, because we record these all separately on our own devices, we could just ring on the mobile and not rely on the internet and talk over the phone. That could be how we do it. We record everything.
That would be
anyway.
horrible audio.
We don't put that audio out, do we? We just chat to each other. And we record on
You want to do like a conference call for
I'm just saying, if the internet's down or whatever, we can still record on our individual devices and upload the content later, can't we?
It sounds complicated. What would Craig do?
Well, you haven't even put him in this week. He's not
Craig's
there.
Having a week off.
I don't do anything to do with Craig. Pab's Craig's friend. We've never met Craig. We should have asked Craig for Pab's phone number.
Yeah, I think he probably
Craig
has it, doesn't he?
Step in for me this week.
Yeah, what's the point of having a super fancy producer man if he doesn't have your phone number? Ridiculous. Craig, you're a waste of space. It's all gone wrong because you're not here. Is Craig dead? Have we checked on Craig?
I mean, if the curse is going to take Craig, I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah, exactly. We're not bothered, are we? That'd be fine.
Have you read your messages, Pab? I imagine your Twitter messages are probably a bit of a confusing mess, but I'll leave you to read that while Kev talks.
I kind of want to read through them because they're brilliantly worded. So we've got, come along, Pabby, at 10:30. So we were due to start at 10. And then at 11 o'clock on the dot, I'm going to assume you've taken a nap. fingers crossed. Due to a missed alarm and not... I'm assuming you've taken a nap, which you haven't awakened from. Fingers crossed due to a missed alarm and not from being dead. We'll give the podcast a miss this week, I guess. Don't be dead. Next message, 2 minutes later. Send a message when you wake up. Sheepdog thinks you've been murdered by Howard the Duck. Which he did.
Yeah, and then read my message, because that covers everything.
Well done. I've closed my... that's not strict... So, sheepdog... That's not strictly the issue. It's a whole curse thing that has haunted me since 1995. I've probably mentioned it before. I don't think you have, by the way. I don't think you've ever mentioned it before.
I'm pretty sure.
Not to us, anyway.
Well, we'll keep it personal. Now we know. We'll keep it private. Yeah, now you know to send me warnings if that son of a bitch is in anything in future. because that was a very tense 15 minutes, Pab. I'm not going to lie. I thought it claimed another one. And, I need warnings.
Silly old Abby. So, Pab's near-death experience aside, how's everyone's week been? Are we all good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all right.
It's new game day, so it's always a good...
Yeah,
good
well, week. In that case, if we're all good, let's defy convention and jump straight into games. If Sheepdog wants a tight 48 minutes... then we'll do a tight 48 minutes and just miss out on the nonsense at the start because it's new game day multiple times over. We've got Humankind, which is out on PC and through Xbox Game Pass. You've got your Ghost of Tsushima rejiggle nonsense and DLC.
You said Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima.
It's not a TV.
It's not tiramisu either.
The company went bust.
I cannot believe after a year of Anna saying Ghost of Tiramisu, I attempt to say Tsushima, get it wrong, and that's what's funny.
But you're a lyricist, a vocal professional.
I would like the tape, the record to show that I said Tsushima. Which you're still laughing at, and I don't understand why. Because that's what it says on the box. About your damn silly game.
Like he's Tsushima, like the technology. It's quite funny. So the PS5 Director's Cut came out today. Mm-hmm. So if you have a PS4 version from...
Oh yeah,
I want to say last year.
Explain how you went around about going about this, Anna. Because
it's quite easy.
Oh well, yeah, it was in the end. But this week I have had to go around some houses trying to fathom out how you go about getting this. Have you physical or digital though?
I've got physical disc.
Right, I've got digital. Yeah, I'll explain.
So yeah, so if you have a physical one, which I do, which came out, I want to say 2020, then you just go into the store, you pay your $24.99, you get the PS5 version. As with all the updates that you get from PS4 to PS5, that's how you do it with a disc. Without a disc, ask Pab, because I have no idea how you do that.
Okay, so Thursday, I think it kind of became clear. But me thinking, well, I'm going to play it on stream. I want to get it sorted and installed and do something, like be prepared for it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So at the start of the week, I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll go on the store. Surely now there is a point where you preload it or something like that. It's a week before. But no, even that, it's 5 days. And bear in mind, when I did download this, it's 90 gig. So I thought, well, I don't want to do that day of. Like when I get in.
Yeah, but
from work
they've used some technology, haven't they? All the gigs, all the downloads now are really small.
I genuinely don't know because
they've jigged it, so everything is really small. It's actually quite good.
Interesting.
But carry on.
So, I go into the store and then you look in there and it's like Director's Cut. Okay, cool. Director's Cut is there. Let's do that. £70. I was like, no, that's not what I'm after. No. And then I was like, okay, so where is it? Okay, find the Director's Cut on PS4. So I find the PS4 version, still £70. I'm like, okay. And you're looking to go into add-ons. Okay, there you go. Director's Cut add-on, PS4. Okay, great. Okay, where's PS5? Nowhere to be seen on PS5 upgrade. I was like, okay. Then learn that there's like a Director's Cut add-on, And then there's a PS5 upgrade add-on as well. So I think the director's cut war add-on was something like $19.99 or something like that. And then there is like a $5.99 charge for a PS5 upgrade, which comes to about £25. So to do it, I would have had to do... I've had to upgrade the PS4 version that I got into the director's cut on PS4 and then separately done another transaction to upgrade that to the PS5 version. And then yesterday, Thursday, it said, I think online, I think it checked something like, if you want to upgrade, there's like a whole Twitter blog of it, of like how to go about doing it. Because I didn't, I'm not doing that. That seems like a really convoluted way of doing it. And I'll just wait until the day. Because then I see that there is just like a, if you want to upgrade to PS5, wait till Friday when it comes out.
Like, oh, okay.
Seriously? So and then I went into a whole thing of like, what time does the game release and what have you? And I was like, let's wait till midnight. Odds are it might be out of midnight. It was 3 minutes past midnight last night. I was just like, okay, let's check. And it is there, $25.99. Ghost of Tsushima director's cut PS5. I was like, well, that's it. Then that is what it is. That's no longer saying £70 for me.
Mm.
And then I had to dance around the little matter of a save.
Did you?
Yeah, because they did a whole thing online again on the same thing yesterday, saying like how to transfer your save, and it shows a picture of the main menu and said there's a thing that says transfer your PS4 save. I was like, okay, so effectively I need to have a save pinged somewhere. They all said like you need to have the PS4 version of the game on your PS5 hard drive. I had it on the external hard drive on the PS5, like all my PS4 games are. So I then had to so I moved it back across to the PS5, loaded that up, and it said there's no option there to transfer a save, because I was thinking it's just going to put a save onto the PS5 somewhere that the PS5 version can find. And then turns out it's just loading the PS5 version, it's in there. I was like, I just did a lot of fapping about shuffling PS4 versions of games around for no reason, but yes, it works. It did what it did. I got the obligatory all the trophies that I previously had on PS4 pop onto PS5.
Oh god, did they?
Yes, but the issue is with that is that I got the platinum on the PS4. There's obviously no.
Yeah.
There is no DLC. There is no. A multiplayer mode which wasn't there when I completed it. So I think I have 25 trophies of 77, so I no longer have the platinum on the PS5. I was like, wow. Mean. That is mean.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, I've got to go on. can I be bothered to do it again? And the answer is yes, because this game is still very, very good.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good game.
Isn't it?
It's so, so very good. Like I say, I finished it and I loaded up exactly where I finished last time, and it then pops up going, oh, there's like a new island. I was like, okay. You go to like an area on the second island, I think it is.
Yeah.
And you then take a boat across to an island which is mean. It's an island that's just full of baddies. Again, and just want to kill you, and then very quickly becomes a fact of like, I've not played this for probably the best part of a year. I don't know how to play this game, and this, everyone just wants to kill you, and it's just it's no messing about either. It comes up, but like when you get on the boat, it's like this is a step up for you. If you've not like. It's not just going to let you, it's not going to just hold your hand. It's going to start just throwing like every kind of enemy at you that is like kind of relatively end game ish. It's because you can start, I think, the game from like. What?
I've started it from the start.
You started the whole game again?
Yeah.
Oh,
you've
right.
You've met
okay.
Anna, right?
I like starting things from the start.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I've almost did, I almost did New Game Plus because I thought, I don't know how long this game is, how long this is, this DLC. So I thought, I kind of want to start again, but then I don't know. We'll see. I might start on New Game Plus because I realized...
Because I haven't played it for so long, I have no idea what controls are.
I'll be honest with you, I thought to myself, well, on my way to this marker on the map, no, this place I've got to go to start the DLC, I'll find a load of people. Turns out, no, it's not many. There's not tons of people. There's supposedly people around. I was told and filmed on stream today that there should be some people roaming around still. We didn't find anybody. I thought, I'll just kind of ease myself back into it. Yeah, it's still very much that game. It is still very much that thing. There's some new horse abilities.
Okay.
You now get an ability on a horse that you get the ability to charge. So if you find like a roaming pack of Mongol enemies, then you can just kind of rush them and just kind of charge them out of the way and insta kill them with your horse. It uses up the not a stamina bar. There's like a bar in the bottom left, isn't there? I can't remember what it's called now. But it uses some of that up. But it's effective. It's like bowling. you just charge into it and just clatter all of them over like bowling pins. It is useful. So there's that new ability. There's also new abilities that, you know, there's some sort of abilities where where the wind can show you things, isn't there? Because I forgot about that, where the wind is your directional compass sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think there's one for like... bow and arrow challenges and one for something else. It's just basically other things to set the waypoints to, either arrow challenges or something, some other collectible. It is very, it runs nice. It's like a high frame rate or high performance mode or something like that.
There is.
High fidelity or high performance, I think there is. And damn, does that game look? It is pretty damn crisp on the PS5. It is
lovely to look at.
Yeah, it really is. Really, really is. It's
and it loads really fast.
And it loaded quick on the PS4. It is.
Yeah, but like the fast travel is like, I timed it. It's literally like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it is literally. You it's click on.
You timed it.
You click on. Two. You don't get a chance to even think about it, really. You click on a fast travel, it kind of goes fades to black and fades back again pretty much instantaneously.
It's ridiculous.
If they put a tool tip or something on that load screen, you don't see that enough to be able to read it.
No.
Bonkers. But it was like that. It wasn't that bad to begin with on PS4. It was surprisingly quick on that. This Ghost of Tsushima. So yeah, this has been the. I mean, so I played it on stream. I feel like I played a little bit off stream as well. I reckon 20% of the playtime I've had has been back in photo mode again. At some point I'll have to ping. I'll put all my photos back out again on Twitter when I'm done. Maybe just stopping going. Okay, let's take a picture of that. That's very pretty. Let's just stop and just okay. Let's get into photo mode and start messing about again.
Wow.
And the upgrade on the controller as well. The controller's a nice.
What, the adaptive triggers. There's wind. Can they wind?
Yes.
At certain points through the controller. Yes.
It has like the similar to Returnal. It has that little pitty patty of the horse and what have you when you're riding it, and you can hear that. You can feel the horse's like hooves kind of tippy tapping on the controller when it's riding. Indeed. It's a nice add-on. Is it? I mean, a lot of people have been like saying, should you be charging for a PS5 upgrade? And I kind of agree with that.
You're not paying for an upgrade, are you? The £24 that I paid was for the whole kabang.
But if you wanted to, if you upgraded on PS, upgraded to PS4, the director's cut on PS4, it's $15.99, whatever it is. Or something like that.
See.
So. You're paying. There is an upgrade cost, and so it
can you not upgrade without getting the DLC then?
Yes. No.
And is that free?
Potentially. I don't know, actually, thinking about it, because, no, that's not free. I don't think it... It wasn't before yesterday, Thursday, as of this. It wasn't before that, because it was something like a $5.99. Or was it $15.99?
I saw a $15.99 one.
Yeah, I think that was to upgrade to the director's cut on PS4. And then there's an extra cost to upgrade to PS5, which is what I was having to do, like two separate transactions to get to where I wanted to be. I don't know if this is factually accurate now, but as of like, I'm aware, they've removed Ghost of Tsushima just regular edition from PSN now. You cannot buy anything else but the director's cut. So
weird.
You can't. That is the only version out there now. So you can't even get standard Ghost of Tsushima unless you're getting a disc version now, I don't think, unless they change that. But I mean, why would they? I suppose if the definitive version is there now for the same price. I don't know, but it is strange. So I don't know how they did everything. It was weird.
But everyone's going to complain about... Well, people are going to complain about everything.
Yeah, because like, there's so many games like have just been like, there's a free upgrade to PS5. And this one's kind of snuck in with... It's not a free upgrade because they're trying to sneak it in with a director's cut. But yeah, it's good.
I just think if a game didn't come out in the release window of the PlayStation 5, I think fair enough. If they want to charge it, then charge it. This is a 2020 game. It's over a year old. If they want to bring out an upgrade version, then why not? They bring up upgrades of GTA 5 and all that shebang, so why not?
Yeah, they did. I think because they did do it. They did like PS5, not... They didn't do a full PS5 version, but they made the PS4 version run like a lot better and give it some sort of bells and whistles to run better on the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
A few months back, so they did that with it, and then they did this one, and then they're like, "Well, no, you have to
pay for it,
pay to upgrade that as well as getting the director's cut," which. Like I say, I can kind of understand it. I can also see why people would be a bit annoyed of it, especially if you just want to just
get. But the thing is, you don't have to buy it. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to.
You kind of do, though. If you kind of have to if you want to play the DLC. You can't buy the DLC standalone. You have to buy the director's cut to get the DLC. You can't buy like just the.
Can you just buy the PS4 version and play it on the PS5?
Yes. Yes, I think you could. But
so you kind of can get,
but there is no way of buying the standalone PS4 version anymore. It has to be by the director's cut, which is £70.
That's just a standard PS5,
but
game
that's a PS4
price,
price of a game, because you get in the base game and the DLC with that, so they charge £70 of that, regardless on PS4. So it's. It's a bit naughty of them.
And that's why they should be on Game Pass. Everything should be on Game Pass.
Tell me about it. It would make things so much easier. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I nearly dropped £40 on a game this week. I sat there, and because I was going to have to buy it, I actually did a lot of reading about it, looking at reviews before I started. I'm talking about Humankind, the new game that is basically a Civilization clone, but a little bit different. And... So I did loads of reading about it. So yeah, you know what? I am going to spend £40 on this. Hadn't even checked Game Pass. It hadn't occurred to me it was going to be on Game Pass. So I didn't check. But then just as I was about to drop the money, I remember that 2Game, who are one of the companies that I partner with, had a discount on it. And I went on Twitter to find the discount for the game. And while I was doing that, I noticed a tweet from Game Pass saying... It's free day one on Game Pass. And I'm like, this service is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. So I just downloaded it for nothing. I haven't played it yet because I've been knees deep in Minecraft and Football Manager again, which we'll get to in a little while. But it is absurd value that a game that, if this is anything like the replayability of Civilization, this game is going to be hundreds of hours of entertainment, and it's just there when I want it for nothing.
It was interesting because you obviously put out the other day, do people want to watch you play Minecraft or Humankind? And I was like, Humankind out. And so I, as we've mentioned, been spending all my time trying to find birthday present ideas, and I thought I could get that for my birthday. It's Civilization, yay. And then saw it was free and was like, for goodness sakes, will the universe not let me spend money on something this week? So I downloaded it and fired it up. And I'm playing it now, to be honest. I've been playing it at the start of the pod because I'm doing an Anna this week. I've been playing it while you've been talking. It is very, very much like Civilization. It has lots of cool... I mean, the newest Civilization doesn't ask you for input on, like, society questions, does it? Like, mine asked me, they said, oh, people were playing with dice, and now it's turned into a bit of a problem where people are gambling, and a farmer's just lost his entire wealth to a peasant because he lost at a game of dice. And I had to decide whether to ban gambling, allow gambling and tax it, or just leave him to sort it out. And I just left him to sort it out. I was like, whatever, get on with it.
Yeah, that is a little bit different from Civilization, because the idea is you're not just one civilization that's sort of shoehorned into history. Your civilization develops and changes throughout history. So it's got little shades of almost like Democracy in there, Democracy 3 from a few years ago. It's got shades of Crusader Kings in there as well. Like I said, did lots of reading about this game.
So at the moment, I am 164 turns in. You are restricted on how many cities you're allowed to have before it affects your influence. So
that's in one of the recent civs. I think that's Civ 5 that's in there.
Now, I built two cities and was quite happy that I had two cities, and they were in good places, not too far from each other. And there was a little civilization called Nok that started next to me and seemed quite... They were like an influenced one, a bit like Civilization, those nation states, the little ones. I kind of just sat there and thought, right, I'll give them the odd bit of money, try and make them like me. They ended up joining me, and I thought, okay, I've got three cities now. This is brilliant. That was rather quick, but, you know, I am awesome, so I can see why they joined me. And then I met the Mayans, and they kept putting cities right on my border, and it kept saying, right, you're upset about this. You need to have a word with the Mayans. And so as when you talk – so in Civ, when you talk to people, you're allowed to trade with them, ask them whether you can, like, open borders, be allies, stuff like that. Or you can declare war on them. In this, you have relations, which just seems to be declare surprise war, declare war, propose an alliance. You have trade, which just seems to be very transactional. Like, they have incense. I can click buy, and it will tell me that there is, it will take 2 days to get to me, and it's going to cost me 100 coins to do it. And there's no bartering there. I thought, right, I'm going to make her give me a load of horses because she's annoyed me. It wouldn't let me do that. It just says I can give her 100 gold for horses, or I can get lost. Treaties at this point in the game, I'm only in the classical era, seem to be that we can either forbid trading, trade luxuries, trade everything, reveal capital, or share my entire map with her. Have closed borders, open borders, tolerate skirmishes, I don't really know what that means, or have a non-aggression pact. So we quickly agreed a non-aggression pact. But then she kept building on my borders, and these crises appeared. So it tells you you have a grievance with them. You can either demand they don't do it, or you can demand they resolve it. So, sorry, you can either demand they don't do it and they give you whatever they've done that's wrong, or you can just go, I'll let you off this time. So a few times I was like, I'll let you off. And then she started being cocky, like, I'm beating you again. So I started making demands. And basically, she keeps building cities outside my borders, and then immediately giving them to me. So I'm like, give me that city. And she's like, all right, fine. So now I've got six cities, and my cap's actually four. So I went from having influence of like 600 to having influence of minus 1,000. And I've managed to, over the past 60 moves, I've clawed it back up to 13. So I'm a plus 13 influence at the moment. But I just met a new civilization, and I wasn't able to agree any trade with them or anything, because you need to have 20 influence to agree certain bits and pieces with them, and I don't have that yet because the Mayans have ruined my influence. I was trying to figure out whether I could just burn the cities to the ground, but apparently you have to research some sort of military tactic that lets me merge cities. So I've got four cities that are on. They're all bordering each other because she kept building them exactly on my border. And when I get this military tactic, I'll just turn them into one big, massive, awesome city. In fact, I'm hoping that I can take the. She's got this massive one right down the middle of my kingdom, and I'm thinking if I could just demand that from her, which will put me 7 out of 4. But then when I merge them all, I can just have one giant country that takes over most of the continent. But yeah, it's fascinating. I'm, as I say, 164 moves in.
Have you had any actual war yet?
I wanted to declare war on her, and when I look to do it, it says if I declare war, I've got 100% support for a war. So apparently if you don't have support for a war, it upsets your people. They become, you know, they turn on you a bit and that kind of thing. They don't fight very well. But her people are only 55% up for the war. But if I declare war, they gain 40%, which would put them on 95%, and then they'd be up for it. So I don't want to declare war because then her people will be up for fighting back. I don't want her to declare it or to just keep making demands. So at the moment, my list of demands are basically give me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cities and let me see her map.
Because apparently that's the key way it's different from Civilization is the way war works with the war support thing that you've already mentioned. And also apparently you can have multiple war turns within each game turn. So you could have like 4 or 5 battle turns taking place within one game turn, which means wars theoretically are going to be a lot more tactical and probably over a little bit quicker, because we've probably all, anyone who's played a lot of Civilization has probably had those wars that somehow managed to take 700 years because you just, well, I'll attack a little bit. Oh, well, I'll attack a little bit more next turn. And the idea is it avoids that kind of thing and you get your skirmish dealt with much more quickly.
It's exactly the same population setup where you have food that gives you people. So the more you focus on food, the more population you have. The more you focus on industry, the quicker things build. The more you focus on money, the quicker you have money to pay for things. And science is there for research. I feel like this is the first time in a game like this. I mean, I'm sat here with 4,203 gold. And I've not focused on that at all. I always plow everything into food and industry because, I mean, that's just who I am, you know, food and industry, that's me. Productivity, food. I think what I tend to do is focus on them until technology exists and I go mad for science. But somehow I've ended up with loads of money. And, I mean, there are lots of bits on the map that you can stumble across, which I suppose is probably part of the reason why. So my scouts are just walking around finding little bits of gold or an animal's like den or something like that and just getting points from it. There's no barbarians that I've seen yet, at least on the map. But there are roaming animals like bears that I just avoided attacking them and then got an achievement for not killing any animals in the first 100 years or something like that. So I don't know what my people were eating because apparently they're vegans. They didn't kill anything. That wasn't intentional, but I didn't kill a single animal apparently. They do keep just roaming through my city, though, which looks quite mad on a map where the houses are small and the bears are giant. But yeah, I mean, it does seem like Civ with a few tweaks. It feels like it's flowing nicer. I've got a bit of a conundrum at the moment that I'm losing stability in that nation state I talked about how they like because I was awesome and all of this. The stability in my city has suddenly dropped to 30%, and I'm told if I don't build it back up, it's going to make them throw a mutiny. But I don't really understand. It's telling me every 5 turns it's going to go up until it reaches 59 at the moment. So I guess whatever the problem was has got better. But I keep getting random things pop up. Like it said, some bloke claimed he was the original royal family, like next in line for the throne, and that I, you know, was a barbarian who butchered his people. And I'm like, your country
does sound like the sort of thing you'd do.
I was thinking, your country joined me because I got a bar chart high enough by giving you money. Like, I'm not really sure who killed who there. I gave them about $1,000 and they went, yeah, go on then. So I just, I think I can't remember what I did now. I think I gave his family remunerations. And yet apparently the city hates me at the moment. And I don't really know what to do. It seems quite prosperous. I was sat here. I'd be giving a new faith upgrade because you also set your religion, which I know you do in Civ. We're Zhao shamans, apparently. Rule number one was purge all idleness, don't be lazy, which again is a very non-me thing. And then I've got to pick rule number two of my religion. And I'm sat here thinking, do I try and make them... There's one that raises stability in all of the towns and villages that I've got, and that kind of older cities I've got, sorry. If I wasn't facing this problem right now, I'd probably focus on, like, you know, don't eat so much food, or, you know, focus on science or something beneficial long term. But right now I'm thinking I'm going to lose one of my cities if I don't, you know, make them more stable. And I know I'm about to go to war with the Mayans, so it also gives you better combat strength. So I'm sort of thinking maybe the tier two tenet of my religion should be focused on a very short term goal. There's only three tiers to shamanism, apparently. I wonder whether I evolve my religion onto a new type of religion later. Because that's another thing that we haven't mentioned, actually. You get a choice of what type of civilization you are at the beginning. And once you get to a new age, you change again. So I started off that we were quite a peaceful people that focused on diplomacy. And then when I got to the classical era, it said, what do you want to do now? And we're focusing on being merchants, because I just thought I need a bit more money, which is probably why I've suddenly got to 4 grand, because actually I'm getting all of the mercenary benefits. But I'm trying to see if it give me a list of all the other things, because at the next era, I'll get to change it. And part of the game is that you, whoever gets to the next era first gets first dibs. So I can't remember, one of the people, the game automatically picked one of the really good ones for one of our rivals. And so I couldn't pick it, and that's why I went for the diplomacy one. When I had the next choice, I could have picked Roman, which would have made me better at waging war, which, I mean, if I'd known the Mayans were going to be dicks, I'd have probably done that one. Could have gone for Greek, could have gone for Celtic, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, next era, I'd have to see what's available. But if I was a pro at it, I'd obviously have planned ahead and thought, right, I'm going to start off here, move to that, move to that. It might have been better to be diplomatic later on, when people are a bit less thick. You know, I've obviously maxed that out in the wrong era, probably, in hindsight. But I think you can stick to the same one. It boosts your fame. You have a infamy kind of point, and I think apparently I'm the most famous at the moment, I think, or I was. Let me just check if it tells me. Oh no, I'm second. Who's number one now? Can't even tell. They've got a ram's head for their badge. I don't know who they are. But I'm the second most famous in the world now out of the six empires that are battling it out. I may have to take down the Mayans. I know, it's outrageous. I was top. I've obviously took my eye off the ball talking to you lot, but I'm enjoying it. It's one of those things where I finished work at 5. I thought, I'll just put this on while I wait for the Mrs. Sheepdog to come home. And it is midnight now, and I have been playing it since. Other than that, I went out for dinner, got to get food, come back and ate it. Yes, we don't normally sit around worrying about Pav. You know, we did that for like 2 hours. So, yeah, I feel like I've genuinely been playing this for over 6 hours, and I'm very much enjoying it.
I'm no doubt going to have lots to say about it next week, because as previously mentioned, I will be staying up until 3 a.m. tonight to watch the wrestling. And as soon as we're done with the podcast, I plan on putting this on and basically playing this through until the wrestling starts at 3 a.m. I would have played it earlier in the week if it hadn't been for my Twitch viewers constantly voting to play Minecraft instead. Pab is going to put in a little advert here, and then I'll tell you what we got up to on Minecraft. Pabby, advert!
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization. Earn great pay, outstanding federal benefits, and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives. Learn more online at cbp.gov/career/USBP.
Here at the Post Malone Raising Cane's in Utah, we pride ourselves on hand-battered chicken fingers.
Post? We do that at every Raising Cane's across the country.
Does every Raising Cane's across the country have Post Malone collector cups?
For a limited time, we do. Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Good work, Pabby. Beautiful advert. Well inserted. So Minecraft, me and Sheepdog have been I've got double bubble Minecraft, because I've got my YouTube single player series that I've been working on, which I've played a lot of off camera as well this week, which is going really rather splendidly. And then the multiplayer server that I'm in with Sheepdog and Pabby and Smoothman. And we have basically spent this week on the server continuing to search for a jungle, because jungles have eluded us for the... This server's been going for over a month now. I've paid for the second month subscription for the realm. It has been a while and we have no jungle. No jungle means no bamboo. No bamboo means no big builds, because you can't build scaffolding. I want to do some big builds to prepare us for taking on the dragon, and I need scaffolding to be able to do that. So we needed a jungle. We spent the week filling in maps, searching for jungles. I actually found earlier in the week two pieces of bamboo in a shipwreck. So immediately ran back to base, built myself a bamboo farm, and by the time I set out looking for the jungle again, I had like 10 stacks of bamboo already. My bamboo farm that I've got is very efficient. We are not wanting for bamboo, but by this point it had become a thing. We needed to find a jungle. So after a couple of nights of playing with Sheepdog, and we were searching for jungles together, not together in game, chatting on Discord, both streaming, but me systematically filling in maps near to base, and Sheepdog walking in a straight line for 7 hours straight across streams, across two nights, to get 40,000 blocks away from home, and basically losing his mind doing it.
The second time I was broken, it became a proper thing, didn't it? I am quite surprised how patient everyone was and how everyone was in it. Like I said, didn't I? Like, do people want me to continue doing this, or shall I just do it offline? And, you know, next time they come on the stream, it's, oh, look, I found it, or I gave up because it wasn't there. And everyone was like, look, no, we want to see this through now, Sheepdog.
And luckily, they did get to see it through. Yeah. Because the next night, when you weren't on, because you've got no commitment to the cause, I came on, showed everyone my bamboo farm, and said, I guess we'll go and find this jungle then. I didn't say we were going to look for the jungle. I told everyone we were going to go and find the jungle. And we set out in the one direction we hadn't been out in yet. I'd been basically working clockwise, going two or three maps away in every direction around from our base. I wasn't going in a straight line in one direction. I was going out for a bit, turning around, coming back, going out on a different spoke. So we headed out on the last spoke, and within an hour of starting that stream, I found a nice little desert jungle. I was raiding the jungle and looked up, and on the horizon, what did I see? But a jungle. And it was glorious doing it without Sheepdog there, after he'd spent so much time just walking in a straight line. So I've got jungle trees, I've got cocoa beans, I've got even more bamboo. The one thing I haven't found is a panda, but I've got a selection of birds that now live with me back at the base. Exactly two birds. There were never more than two birds. It was exactly two birds. No other birds were with me ever, and none died on the way back. There were always exactly two birds. Two birds now live with me back at base. And, yeah, splendid time was had by all. Sheepdog, meanwhile, is still 40,000 blocks away from base with zero birds.
I just thought, I got on the stream before you one night, and I just said, look, I'm going to get my stuff and I'm going to walk, and I'll probably die, but let's see how it goes. I meant in game, but I feel like it's more likely I'm going to die in real life, because I'm just like, I got just in the habit of holding down the button and just jumping at the right times and not really thinking it through. I was just, yeah, going for it. We come across villages, we come across little areas, just I kept finding horses, riding them for a bit, leaving them at the coast, getting on the next horse I saw, riding that across the land, and, you know, just exploring, seeing what the game has. So it was just fun seeing what was there. But I mean, now we've got a jungle, part of me was thinking about going on there earlier before I played Humankind. I was just going to go on there and try and walk home, just not all in one go, but just start the trek back in a slightly different angle or whatever. But if I don't know...
Bear in mind, you took no maps with you.
Yeah, I'd need to know the coordinates from you, and then I would head towards them. I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to trust you to give me the right ones, to be honest. But I just figured if I walked diagonally back to our houses, I'm surely to find a jungle that way. Because apparently we gave our map spawn to Lewis. You know Lewis Pab. We gave him the number and asked him to look it up, because I trusted him not to sort of go, oh, Sheepdog, go left or something like that. I said to him, don't tell us where it is, just tell us, is there one within 10,000 blocks of home, and have I missed one along the way? And all he said was, yes, there's one 10,000 blocks from your base. And he said, Sheepdog, you've been very unlucky. And that's all I'm going to say. And we assume that means that I must have passed some. He did say it's been quite painful watching from that moment on, because the amount of times he thought to himself, if he keeps walking in this direction, he's going to get to the jungle. And then apparently I would change direction, but he wasn't telling me where to go. He just said, a couple of times you've changed direction now and you've gone away from the jungle, which I found
fascinating. It would be interesting to know how many are within 10,000 blocks, because the one I found is about 5,000 blocks away. So I wonder if that's the only one in that range, or if there's another one in a different direction that we might stumble across at some point.
Do you know...
Again, I don't want to know.
If you were planting that bamboo, would that I'm guessing that doesn't... And the trees now, I'm guessing that doesn't change the biome at all, no?
No, no.
Because I was hoping if we put the trees up, we might get a panda to live in it.
There are some jungle trees at our base now. There's some jungle trees, there's some bamboo. But yeah, no pandas living with us just yet.
Because you can't even, you can only tame them. You can't make them pets. I'm not going to be able to bring one home anyway. I just don't know why I'm even worried about that. I want a bird though. I did see you get two birds.
Surely you could get a panda into a boat and bring it home that way, maybe? Maybe? Maybe.
Wouldn't it need a minecart or something?
I mean, I'm sure if anyone figures out a way, it's going to be the man whose only goal for this realm is to make a zoo.
Yeah. I don't know how I would do it. I'd need enough blocks to walk across the sea, surely.
Yeah, unless you can get him to follow you through the nether.
He's not going to follow
Does
me
he follow
on the
you if you're holding bamboo?
Maybe.
Yeah, but if you're holding out bamboo, he might follow you. And he's not going to find much bamboo anywhere else. We've found that. We've proven that over the course of the last month. So once you get him out of that jungle, there's no more bamboo. He has to get it from you. You're his dealer.
Yeah, well, I suppose this is it. He's going to be outraged. I just pressed a button on my game and it's thrown me a bit. I'd made a demand on the Mayans and the Celts declared war on the Huns. And I don't know how I've made that happen, but it happened just as I demanded that they respect my people's wishes.
Or something. Silly goose.
I'm clicking through this thinking, who's at war with me? What's going on? I think I'm fine. Apparently, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is confusing.
Probably, this is why I'm not playing it during the podcast. I want to be able to concentrate on it on my first playthrough and figure out how it works.
I don't think I know how civilization works, and I've played that for probably 50 plus hours at least. Like maybe not hundreds, but definitely. I mean, I say probably.
See, I've played probably the latest civilization for multiple hundreds. I've probably done over 1,000 hours
That's
on Civ 6
ridiculous.
Across multiple devices. I love Civilization, and the older ones I've played even more. Civilization Revolution on the Xbox 360 was the first game I got 1,000 gamer points on. I love Civilization.
I am just kind of clicking randomly. I haven't really got much of a plan for, especially these cities I didn't plan to build. I'm just sat here thinking, well, do I build them up now? Do I just hold off and merge them all into one? Will they be better if I don't do it? But yeah, I don't think I am at war with anyone. I don't know how that war triggered, unless it was just an automatic thing. I don't know. Weird, isn't it? And getting involved in that war, though. I'm just sending all of my troops to the Mayan borders over and over again.
But yes, that was Minecraft, everybody. It's a lovely game. And that concludes my games for the week. Have you got any more, Sheepdog?
We played.
Oh, of course.
Together,
we played Back for Blood, didn't we? Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
We did.
That was good. That was very good.
We played.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Way past the 8 o'clock cutoff point.
Yeah, because we finally managed. We did try and play it immediately after the podcast last week. But we couldn't get connected to a server because it was just after the open beta had started. So all we could do is basically wander around the little pre-game warm-up zone. We did that for about an hour and then gave up. And then, of course, me and Anna were away for the weekend and it was difficult getting all four of us together again. So we finally got together on Monday night. Was it Monday night?
Yeah.
I think it was Monday night. And the beta was due to end at 8 p.m. and we couldn't start until 7 p.m. because Anna has to do the CBeebies bedtime hour because she is a host on CBeebies these days.
Yeah.
So we thought we'll get an hour in and see what we can do. and it didn't kick us off at the end of the beta. I actually had to leave the game because I had to go and get a Too Good To Go bag from the local co-op, and they didn't have it and gave me a bottle of pop instead. Ridiculous. But that was at about 9:30. I was like, look, I've got to go. I've got to go and pick up this bag. Because I was so late, I didn't get my stuff. But yeah, we weren't kicked off of it, and it was great fun. Getting fingered is the new getting sucked off, and it's just like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, it was very, very good fun, wasn't it? We had a great laugh. We managed to do that perilous mission. There were other missions we didn't get a chance to do, but we did the boat one, didn't we?
Yeah, we did the boat.
Yeah, we survived the boat. There's more to play, obviously, in the demo, let alone the rest of the game. Do you reckon I'd do any more?
I'm very excited for the full game. I wouldn't have thought so. But full game's out in October, so we don't have a huge amount of time for wait. There's a lot of games being teed up for the end of this year now. Next month, FIFA. Month after, Back for Blood. Month after that, Football Manager 22. That's me sorted. The WWE games are back this year as well. Oh,
see, I've got the Gen 4 Pokemon remake and the spin-off Legends of Arceus, which both had amazing video reveals this week. They've done a set in the distant past Pokemon game, and it's got regional Pokemon from the past that aren't in the present that are exciting to see because, yeah, it's just interesting that they've gone down that kind of cool creative route, and you're doing the first ever Pokedex, so you have to catch different Pokemon multiple times to learn about them and weigh them and all of that, so I'm very excited about that. So, yeah, you're right. It's a massive amount of games coming out in the next 6 months that we're going to actually get to talk about for once. I guess it's the benefit of stuff. A year of no games. We're getting the pop at the end, aren't we?
It's the most exciting a release schedule has looked for like 7 or 8 years, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, which it's got to be a hangover from COVID, isn't it?
I imagine so. But yeah, Back 4 Blood was great. We only played it for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't really have much more to say about it other than the fact it delivered everything I expected it to. It was Left 4 Dead, but shinied up. 10 years later, or whatever it is, 15 years later. And it was great. It was everything I wanted. And I can't wait to get it and play it a lot. I don't know how I'd enjoy it with randoms. I think the fact that it was a team of 4 people and we were all on Discord together and we all know each other and 3 of the 4 of us like each other. I think that made it more fun. I don't think I'd want to just go on and play it with total randoms. You had a little go with randoms, didn't you, Anna?
I did. It was all right. They helped.
But you like just going on and doing stuff like that with randoms. You used to play Gears of War with randoms.
I did.
Which I couldn't dream of playing Horde mode for anything other than a social experience. I wouldn't want to just do it to play Horde mode, but you love all that.
See, I
don't have to be on mic, so I'm fine.
I massively enjoyed you two shag revive me. All those things that we used to say back in the day. It was like, again, it was just being teleported back in time a little bit. It was very good fun. And I thought, this is going to be, we need lots of that. There's that alien one that's basically the same game.
And
sci-fi.
Guess what as well, boys and girls? This is another game that's going to be day one on Game Pass.
It is.
I feel like I'm an advert for Microsoft at this point, but I mean, we've got the new Forza Horizon game is another one coming out. That's another one on the horizon. Ah, puns. But they're all free. It's ridiculous. They're all free. I don't understand. FIFA.
It is weird, isn't it?
EA, whatever it's called, is within Game Pass now. Football Manager. I know it won't be there on launch, but Football Manager the last 2 years has gone into Game Pass. Literally everything I'm going to play in the next 6 months is most of it's going into Game Pass day one, and the stuff that isn't will be in there by the spring.
What is it, 11 insane. A month? I think I'm paying 11 a month.
I don't even know, but it's not enough.
I do worry they're going to bang it up eventually, but at the meantime, the getting's good, and I'm not, you know, going to worry about the future. But I'm probably spending, even I know you two buy a game, you three, sorry, buy a lot more games than I do. But I'm still saving buying it this way, and I'm playing infinitely more games. It's ridiculous. As I say, every time I go to buy a game at the moment, it's already on there. So all the ones I want are on there. It's good. It's good for me. I'm happy. I love it. It's very cool.
And now I am done. So you lot can spend the final 7 minutes of the podcast talking about whatever you want. I'm done. You're welcome.
I don't really have much to add.
Eight minutes ago.
Not really.
Trying to figure out what else I've played. I've played a little bit of Slay the Spire. Have you any of you played Slay the Spire before?
No.
Nope.
I know of it, like, but I've never played it.
It is a collectible card game akin to people were asking on stream saying, have I played Hearthstone before? So it gives that kind of vibe off to it, but you're not playing against someone. You're playing against the computer, and I can see why people would say it's a Hearthstone, because it's a card game, card game, like where you build a deck sort of thing. And then it also has the element of FTL. Sort of. Yeah, you know, like how FTL is like a space map kind of thing, doesn't it? This has you work your way up, like you do across the space map. You work your way up this tower of each interaction is like either an enemy or a shop or a rest station or something like that, and you just work your way up, like you kind of it looks like a Star Trek where you can like just ping across it, and you can take multiple directions of which way you want to go, and you can fight, you can go into fights, you can go into, like I say, into shops, into rest, into like a camp where you can upgrade or rest. I knew about this game. This is the game. This is like kind of like the standard of collectible card game. This is what people judge everything else by. Is it? It's a Slay the Spire like kind of thing. This is like what people have now base their other games off. Is it like Slay the Spire? And it's very, 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 very good for one of those games that where you get given a bunch of cards and you have to then kind of fight these enemies based on what cards you dealt. And I had some very nerve-wracking moments in it where I'm thinking, I don't know how to beat this. I don't know how to beat it. And for some way, I managed to claw myself to victory from the jaws of defeat, multiple times. I'm going, I don't know. I'm just sitting there baffled going, I don't know how to beat this. I don't know how to beat this. And suddenly a card comes into your hand. You're like, okay, we can do this. We can do this. And that'll give an enemy a weakness to something or other and reduce its attacks down. So that's not going to kill me. That'll then put a shield on me where I can then do all this jiggery pokery and manage to get a win out of it. And it's, once you're dead, you're dead. You start again and you start from the bottom of the pack. But you can use overall progression for yourself, and then you can unlock characters upon doing that. I think you unlock two characters. I think I played a new character every single time I played it. It's genuinely fun. I played it on phone a while ago, and not enough to give a verdict on it because I didn't really get into it because it was on my phone. And I don't, like I said before, I don't really like playing games on my phone. But I got a voucher for a game on the Play Store. I was like, oh, people speak highly of Slay the Spire, so I played it on there, and it works fine on there as well. It genuinely works absolutely fine on the phone. It had a very kind of it didn't feel like a different experience on there. But yeah, it's a very good collectible card game that I can see why people set this as the template for all of these games. Is like, this is what it is, this is what it should be, and this is what it should be going forward, because it is very, very, very good at being one of those kind of games. If you like card games, then you should definitely give it a go. Other than that is pretty much me as well.
Splendid. Anna, have you got any more?
Nah.
Well, then we'll wrap this bad boy up. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, boys and girls. Oh, by the way, it's only Sheepdog's birthday. We're 11 minutes in.
Happy birthday,
Happy birthday, sheepdog.
Happy retirement, sheepdog.
Thank you very much.
Retirement?
Retirement.
Yeah, he's 67 years old.
Can't podcast at this age.
Exactly. That's him done. Has the rest of your hair fallen out as you've hit your birthday? What is this? In all seriousness, this is what, 50? 52?
36. I had to think about that.
No, come on, we're both being silly.
He's the same age as me, Kevin.
Let's agree on the real age now.
Yeah, I'm the third youngest on the podcast.
What a ridiculous way to phrase it. I'm the fourth youngest, so we're all good. But yeah, everyone tweet at Sheepdog and tell him that he's old. He'll love that.
No, don't do that. Don't be mean.
Hang on,
do
I said that the wrong way around, didn't I? I'm the second youngest, sorry. Anyway.
No, you're the third.
I'm the second youngest. Anna. Kev's the oldest. Anna's the second
Kevin
oldest.
Kevin, me, Sheepdog, Pab.
Yeah, I said youngest.
Well, you're older than Sheepdog.
I am, by a few months.
My word. I mean, put them two next to each other. Goodness me. So, you can follow me on Twitter at Lelujo.
You can follow me at Sheepdog6K.
I'm Miss Lelujo and other things. Just find Kevin, you'll find me.
And I'm Pab1986.
Apparently the youngest.
Yes.
On the podcast, which, I don't know. I think it's all made up. It's all nonsense. I'm the one who plays with all the toys and things. I must be the youngest.
No, you're the...
I'm staying up late to watch wrestling, and I've spent my evening so far rearranging my figures. Mm. Come on. I must be younger than you people.
I think you're brain damaged. I don't know about that.
Wow.
We'll make a note of that one for when I finally get my autism diagnosis. Goodness me.
Well, when I get mine, I'm going to be suing you.
See you next week, boys and girls.
Have a good week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening, folks.
I always say see you next week, but we don't see them. It's audio.